When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I watched the Conan Hot Ones, and never before have I watched a video and felt like, wow, I am so not a comedic professional.
Wow. I kind of had that same feeling.
In that, I mean, I think I'm great. Don't get me wrong.
Sure, of course.
I have a big ego, whatever. But watching somebody, I do, of course, as do you too, of course, mm-hmm. that we have to. Mm-hmm. But watching somebody go on that show and dominate the show so professionally was so cool and refreshing. And I was like, that is like, he went on to give it a good show and he just crushed it. And he was so insane and funny and it was great.
And then also gave really intelligent remarks and then would go back into his doctor bit. And just constantly
hit three bits running, like
constantly doing all these different bits and then giving a very great piece of advice. Like, I really love the one about like every audience needs to know that this is the best show that's ever happened.
Yes.
And this audience is special. This is an amazing show. And whenever a guest says like it's not going well, then that's bad because now the audience thinks they're at a bad show, and that sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want to let the audience know that they're. Or he was also had this funny idea about just showbiz, and he was just like, "Yeah, we're here to give them a good show, and like, there's a facade that is necessary to have." And I thought that was really interesting and like kind of old school, but I think there's so much to glean and learn from that.
I think it's fascinating that Hot Ones right now is one of the few media making. Media worthy shows out there.
What do you
mean? It's seen as this digital property, right? It's a YouTube show. But people going on Hot Ones, it creates memes, it creates conversation, it creates culture. Mm-hmm. It is taking the lunch of late night.
Oh, yeah.
And it is doing what shows of the past used to be able to do. And I don't think it's getting enough credit for it. I mean, even Sydney Sweeney on Hot Ones, right? That created a week's worth of meme cycle. Paul Rudd, we are still seeing that meme.
Right. Like, who cares if Sydney Sweeney goes on late night? Of course she will.
Yeah, of course she will.
And similar, Conan was on late night, and that was like, oh, he had a fun story. I saw a couple things about it. But Conan going on Hot Ones, one, meant that I was seeing clips of his Hot Ones everywhere, but it also kicked off the Conan Appreciation Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Where every you know, on across Twitter, across Instagram, across TikTok, it just became a week's worth of dedication to, wow, this guy's great. And that's something uniquely that I think Hot Ones is currently positioned in culture to do. And it kind of took me by surprise the way that this show's ascendance has now come to a place where it can dictate culture.
Celebrity torture talk show. Interesting.
It's so great. You know? We love to see us. And by the way, yeah, can you imagine going on? I guess they ended their season or whatever. But I was like, can you imagine going on after this episode? Like, I feel like you broke the format. I'm like, to go on afterward, it's like, oh, this is pretty spicy.
Should I bring a horse?
No, I was like, this is just so cool. Like, he really found a way to kind of, and also you never see Sean, by the way. We would be remiss if not to mention Sean Evans.
Yeah.
And how, you know, great he is. But also, you mentioned the Sydney Sweeney one. I noticed you're always watching that in your office.
You love this joke that I'm obsessed with her. It's so deeply upsetting to me.
The other culture, I mean, if you're a big celebrity, you want to get on Hot Ones. But the other one, which has taken me by surprise.
Eat the menu.
That's right.
Yeah.
El Cajon, where you at?
Cajon in the house.
Get your tickets.
It's Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's sort of interesting. Call Her Daddy, it's hilarious how that is.
It's become a really like prestige show.
Which is hilarious because it started out and she was talking about giving Gluck 9,000. And now she's sort of like giving a sincere interview to Cole
Sprouse.
Now
she's giving Think 10,000.
Yeah. Obama's going on Call Her Daddy.
He's got to be getting on that
honestly,
show.
That would be, I would be interested. I would probably listen.
Yeah. But both of those.
Now, Barry, what's the best Gluck Gluck you ever got?
Oh, man.
Nailed it.
Oh, man.
Welcome
oh,
all man. Into the show. This is the Tripod. We appreciate you listening. We're happy to hang out with you. We're weeks away from the event.
That's right.
We also have Eat the Menu tickets on sale right now if you want to come see us on tour. We're going to be coming to a city near you, hanging out with you. Last week we were talking about Call Her Daddy and JoJo Siwa when we looked through our TikTok, and I'm wondering if anyone has learned anything since.
About JoJo Siwa?
Yeah.
About Joe?
Well, she didn't write the song.
Well, everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that.
This is our favorite segment. It's called JoJo Watch.
JoJo Hour.
We are on JoJo Clock.
Your favorite segment where we talk about JoJo Siwa news that happened 3 weeks ago.
JoJo Newswa.
I worry about JoJo.
Well, yeah. I mean,
tell me more.
Yeah.
Well, she was on that Dance Mom show, right? Yeah. That's where she got her start, which is an obviously abusive environment. Yeah. Well, we always know that children on TV are in some sort of hell.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And now she is coming of age, and she is almost leaning into the I'm about to go through hell phase of my career.
Well, it's also, that's funny to think about, like, that she's kind of going through hell because there is a want from her, it feels like, to be seen as genuine, but it comes off so disingenuous. Like, she's like, yeah, like, I'm new, like, I'm doing gay pop. She had this whole quote where people are making fun of her, where she was like, I'm inventing a new genre, it's called gay pop. And everyone was like, that is an insane thing for you to say. Like, gay pop has always existed and it's always been fantastic, and you're like not even really a part of it. But I think it's just so funny for her to, it feels like, and I think this exists on the internet a lot, people trying to be genuine, and it comes off as so fake and weird.
Well, she doesn't have a real life. She never has.
Right, exactly.
She doesn't know what genuine is.
She has no reference.
It's impossible. We've said this a lot, but the age you get famous is the age you stay.
Mm-hmm.
She got famous at like 7.
Oh, that's funny.
Have we said that a lot? Because that's interesting to me.
It's like a common belief.
No, did you say that?
I just know. It's just in the zeitgeist.
Basically, it's a common belief, especially with the digital age. Especially that the age that you get famous is the age you stay. That can explain why the Paul brothers are horrible forever. They got famous at like 17. That's not a good age.
I mean, those are my homies right there, though. So I just want to.
Take
a step back and don't talk about my boys that way.
I do.
Hey, you gonna talk about my boys? You gonna talk about my Paul boys that way?
I guess I already did.
I guess we have to box.
Yeah. I do think that in some ways I'm 28.
You're going to be millennial, late 2010s, post-Obama era hope millennial forever.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, you feel 28.
I don't feel 28, but I think there are things about me, and when I think about things that I like, some of them immediately jump to like what I liked at 28, and then I'll go to a place that I would have liked at 28 and be like, oh, wait, no, I don't like this.
Right.
But I thought I would.
Yeah.
Like, here's a great example. It's just I went with Jared Popkin to his like birthday party, and he was like, it's at this cool bar downtown. I'm like, that sounds cool. I like cool bars downtown. But then I got there, and it was all like 23-year-olds. I'm like, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
And it was slammed.
It was slammed, and I was like, wow, I don't like this, but I really thought I was going to like this. I was like excited about this, and then I'm here, and I'm like, this is bad. And it only was made worse that every single person there was like, Dad! Oh my gosh, Dad's here. Did you know you're my dad? And I'm like, oh.
They said that to you?
Yeah, they didn't say dad, but they all were like, I grew up watching you. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It made you feel old.
I grew up watching you. Oh my gosh, what are you doing here? I can't believe you're here.
Yeah.
I've been watching you since I was a baby. I learned how to poop in a toilet with you on the TV. And I'm like, they didn't say that. But it just felt like Dad's here. And then I was like, oh no, this is not cool. It's not cool for Dad to be here.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And it's even less cool for everyone to be excited that Dad's here.
Dad's gotta go.
And then I was like, I gotta stay because I came all the way out here to hang with Jared, and I am enjoying my time with Jared. But every time I needed to like traverse the crowd, and every time I looked, I would look and everybody was like,
Oh, cool,
that's
though.
So funny. Well, so yeah,
you think it's cool.
Never
it's
had
not
that
cool.
Experience.
When you're wanting to just disappear and just enjoy the bar, you don't want to be reminded that you don't belong.
Also, that's just the age of the internet too. Is like those people that are 23, when you were at BuzzFeed and the biggest thing in the internet was right. BuzzFeed, they were the age that was watching the most internet.
Right. You were in middle school and high school. Right. It makes total sense.
Completely.
But that's a lot of reasons like kid stars are fucked up. They're kind of like kids forever.
Yeah, totally.
Can I say a story about JoJo Siwa? So you,
please.
If I may. So I'm not going to pretend to know her or know about her. Though I did used to live in an apartment where she next door parked her custom wrapped Tesla that had her face. Repeating pattern over and over and over awesome. And over again. It rocked every time I walked by. I was like, yo, how do I get a ride in this? But to your point that she has never lived a real life, and I think this is true of many mm-hmm. child stars, yeah. some experience severe trauma, some just experience, like, I don't want to call it capital G trauma, but just the simulation of yeah. living in a bubble. And then it doesn't prepare you to actually have real life skills. So yeah. my observation in the few times that we've crossed paths, of which I have, you know, I rub elbows with the
elite,
with JoJo. The who's the elite. Who. You know, I'm in the room where it happens.
We've been to VidCon.
Yeah.
So at VidCon, there's like a mixer that they do in a dimly lit convention hall room.
Yeah,
they little aperitifs and
serve a lot of wine, and none of the young ones want that. It's very funny to me. The wine line is always the shortest. It's great.
Yeah. And my recollection was seeing JoJo Siwa standing off to the side with her mother.
Yeah,
and not talking to anyone. But like every time a song would come on, she would like hit a little dance move and like do the whip and nay nay to make her mom laugh. And like, and maybe her manager was there too. And it was just a like, ha, JoJo, you killing it, girl. And so this to me is someone who grew up in an environment
yeah.
from a very young age where she was only impressing middle-aged women who were yesing her and
right.
just praising her. And so of course that person does not have the social skills to exist now as a real person because she never has had to.
Yeah, you have a lot of yes.
Never has gotten to.
Yeah,
never has had to.
We need to
back,
undercover
really.
Boss her.
Undercover boss at JoJo Siwa's company.
We need to JoJo Siwa undercover.
Celebrity normalized, where we take celebrities and
make
for
them
a
normal?
Month we make them look like they're not celebrities and make them have jobs at...
I would watch that.
Trader Joe's.
I think that's a good show. Friends. I think that's a good show, and I think that you would see a lot of celebrities have complete emotional breakdowns
and they would
from having to live a regular life.
Yeah.
Wait, this kind of rips.
That is actually a really good... I'm like thinking about this now, and I'm like, that would be the biggest fucking show ever. Kim Kardashian has to live in like a one-bedroom apartment Alhambra.
Go back in time, and it's like the Simple Life era Paris Hilton,
yes.
but instead of her getting to pass off as like, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm not going to... pick up the cow poop. It's like, no, Paris, you're a cashier at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Welcome to your life.
And your boyfriend is an asshole. There's like actors playing their community. Yeah, that's so fucking funny.
Who do you want to see on that show the most?
Kim K is a really big
classic.
One. But I actually think she's like a trained enough performer that she would be able to pull it off. Someone that would really, I feel like, have an emotional breakdown. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like some celebrities might
want it,
enjoy it.
That probably is true, but maybe that's the wrong message.
I don't know. I think hey, different. I think it's like a TLC show where you're seeing three different celebrities throughout
right.
the episode, and
yeah.
someone's
Intercut.
Enjoying it, and someone's yeah. not, and someone's is not sure how to feel about it.
I don't know how you say his last name. Barry Keoghan. Barry.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't. Do any of us not actually say his last name?
Barry Keoghan.
Is
right?
it Keoghan?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
What
anyway,
else could
I think
it be?
He would get way too into it.
Yeah, some celebrities would be like, this is it. Like, Jeremy Allen White would just be like, I do work at Gap. He would, like, become Method. And it would be like, he'd be the best Gap salesman.
He would kill it.
Man, I wanted to work at Gap so bad in high school.
Really?
I did. I was what? Like, their clothes are the best clothes you could ever have.
They had like, some good
Gap?
Marketing
Come
campaigns.
On.
I think
I
we're ready
think
for
was,
a Gap
yeah.
resurgence.
Yeah. yeah,
a
Gap surgeons.
Gap owns everything.
They
you
do.
Know? If you have a Gap card, I think they own Banana
yeah.
Republic, Old Navy, several other of the popular mall brands, they're Gap.
Man, I'm not spending as much time at the mall as I feel like I used to.
I just went to the mall this weekend, and let me tell you what, it was crowded.
Yeah, yeah. baby.
Getting Woo! Out of that parking lot was awful.
Although, was it kind of nice to be in the mall? Like, I feel like I do online shopping, whatever.
It was nice to go and get some shirts at a store, and then I have the shirts.
That's nice.
That was cool. And
we
I was like
that.
This one. I want this exact one. It's mine now. I do like the, I'm wearing right now, the thick knit Uniqlo t-shirts.
Oh.
They're really, they'd fit me very well.
We're all thinking it. We're looking at you and going, hey,
Becky rolled my sleeves up today.
Wow.
See them?
Oh, I do like
them?
That.
We're seeing it. Bazinga.
Like Sailor style. I did, Keith, by the way, also go to the mall recently, and I saw Dune 2 by myself, big bucket of popcorn. And I've,
you got the Dune popcorn and you played around with it?
No, I could have fucked the bucket. But I...
Does it not scratch your arm when you're pulling the...
I thought you were going to say penis. I really did.
I mean, sure. Does it not scratch?
No, I think that... I don't know. I have a lot of questions, and I'd love to meet the inventor.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery's changing as I get older. It used to be that I wanted to hang out with people every single day. Now I'm like one, maybe 2 days max a week that I'm capable of hanging out with other people. And maybe for you, it can be easy to ignore your social battery. You spread yourself thin, especially with social gatherings, picking up after the winter, right? So what is the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build the social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy has helped me so much. I'm a big proponent of it. Even if you don't think you have anything to talk about with your therapist, sometimes those are the most productive sessions. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tripod today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/tripod.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
Code is in session.
Woo! Oh, because you saw my Instagram?
Yeah.
All right. Rainey said, enough of this boring mall shit.
Judge Rainey presiding.
We are going to...
All rise for the Honorable Judge Rainey Toll. This is Rainey's Core.
Yes, stop. It's gavel time.
Here I thought I was doing you a service by introducing you. No, Rainey's got this covered.
I've got a second introduction. So first one, if you have a genie...
Wait, no, is that the end of it? Stop, it's gavel time?
Yeah, what else? You go gavel, go gavel. Gavel.
Go gavel, go gavel, go.
Knock, knock, who's there? The gavel.
Oh, that's funny.
Thank you.
That's good.
There
Thanks.
We go. I did not get it for a second.
Yeah.
So people have submitted their disputes, things that they've disagreed with their friends.
Yeah.
And we are telling them what's what, who's right.
Okay, guys.
Okay, if you have a genie and use your last wish to win the presidential election... Is it election fraud?
Okay, no, I don't think it is election fraud. And I'm going to go ahead and say because magic is bigger than laws.
The defendant, Miles Bonsignore, wants to become president of the United States.
That's right.
And is wishing on a genie lamp. The accuser, Keith Douglas Habersberger, claims that that is election fraud and should make him disbarred as president.
Do you think magic is fraud?
Yeah.
Because to me, love is the biggest magic we have. Is love fraud? Oh, my, Keith. You are dancing on a rickety road.
You know what's wild is that we...
It's a road.
You're dancing on a rickety road.
I'm dancing on a rickety road. That sounds like a good song.
I swear to God, Miles, we recorded a Guilty Pleasures episode of the movie Aquamarine last night, and the word, the phrase, love is the greatest magic we have, is almost verbatim in that film.
Yes.
Your wish is probably creating the scenario where a majority of voters vote for you.
Yeah, logistically.
Now, that... is, I guess, less fraud because those people are casting votes. But if the wish made it so voting machines worked incorrectly and logged a bunch of false votes, that would be fraud. So it's hard to say. I need to know what the genie did.
Yeah, is it mind control, right? In which case, is mind control... If Joe Biden got up on stage and waved
hypnotized
his little... hypnotized people...
His clock.
With a little
clock
back and forth with his pocket watch... Is that fraud, or is that just all's fair in love and politics?
That's just magic, man.
I feel like one person choosing the election is fraud, right? That's not an election.
But it's not fraud. Choosing, now that's interesting. If they're choosing it and it has nothing to do with the votes, then that's not fraud. Then that's fraud. If I was just to say, okay, forget the votes, like waving a magic wand, now this guy's president.
That's, I think, what it, yeah, that was my
fraud.
Interpretation.
I feel like a genie wouldn't grant this. I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think it's election
fraud. On the part
I
of
think
the genie.
It's genie fraud. I think that it
Wait,
is.
Why wouldn't the genie do it?
Because the genie can't, what are the genie rules? Can't bring people back from the dead.
They can't resurrect people. They can't make someone love you.
Love. And so what is casting a ballot but a declaration of ideological love?
I can almost guarantee that the person I vote for this year I do not love.
Well, we don't know yet.
I think it's a bit.
We don't know who's actually going to be on those ballots yet.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. I think that, like, yeah, I guess you can't make.
He's
someone...
actually sitting right next to you, Keith.
Oh my gosh.
You can't make someone love you. Yeah, that's interesting, Zach. What is his other? What's does he have a third rule?
No butt stuff.
No head.
I think it's what? Yeah, what was Aladdin? It was can't make someone love you. Can't bring someone from the dead.
Riches? No.
Riches
gets...
you can do.
Riches.
I don't even, to me, it's not even fraud. Yeah, fraud would be, okay, here's, you know what it is? It's a difference in semantics. You ask your genie, can you change all the ballots for this person and make them for this person? That's fraud to me.
That's fraud.
If you genied before the election happened, that's just good business.
So here's the thing. If we're wishing actually on a monkey's paw, it's definitely going to be fraud.
Yeah.
Because that monkey paw only ever works in a way that is actually bad, but gets you what you "quote unquote want," but because Mikey's paw would also be like somehow every single person in the chain of command to president above you dies, and somehow you actually do become president.
Right. Yeah, right.
Doesn't make any sense, but it's possible.
If it's Dragon Ball Z rules, then it is fraud. If it is Aladdin the genie rules, then it is fine.
Next question: socks on or off during sex?
Oh, socks
what
off.
What are you talking about?
Socks off 1,000,000%.
The defendant, Keith Douglas Habersberger, sometimes likes to keep his socks on.
How cold is it?
It's 60.
Irrelevant how cold it is. The socks.
Yeah, that's
socks,
wild.
You're not naked unless the socks are off, baby.
To me, I've got socks on. You look hilarious. There's no sexiness happening if it's like socks on? You're telling me?
Unless these are, and forgive me for saying, your fuck
cock
me socks.
Oh. You sexy socks. Lacy.
Yeah.
What if, like a bondage sock.
What if you just
little bows on them?
Forget to take your socks off because
you're
so busy fucking?
Well, you just, you know, what if?
And this, you're saying what if, but it's clearly a specific scenario you're thinking
of. The person asking this, are they asking, do I need to take my socks off? Or it's like, hey, my partner won't take their socks off, and I want to prove to them that that's bad.
I think it's just which is better. I think some people like it, and some people don't.
Who likes it?
I don't need it, but I'm sure there's been times where I've had them on because I just don't care.
Almost sneezed.
Oh.
Honestly, I'm gonna do you one further. I don't think you should have socks in bed.
Oh, I agree with
unless
that.
What are you talking about?
Unless it's a fresh bed pair.
Fresh bed pair.
So you're saying that socks don't belong in bed because you're under the sheets. I don't like socks on in bed under the sheets.
But if you're one of, if you're cold, like my Maggie, she gets cold feet when she going sleepy. So she has her sleepy socks for the wintertime, but those are different than your daytime socks. What I am reacting to is the yucky. To me, it's like shoes in bed.
Mm.
I don't want.
Do you take a shower every night?
No, and it's because
so
I like being a dirty little.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
Right.
I almost always have my socks on when I go to bed, and then I wake up at 3 a.m. I'm like, I'm so hot. I gotta take these socks off.
See, that's exactly it. I know.
But I need them to fall asleep because I'm so cold. And then I'm so hot because Alfred sleeps on my feet.
I get too upset when I wake up and I have socks on. I'm sweat. My feet overheat, which is crazy. They get too hot.
You ever try just one sock off?
What am I, crazy?
You ever try a sock off your ankle or off your heel, but just kind of dangling on your toes?
Zach, that just gave me the ick. No, I think, yeah, that is.
Wrapped around your big toe with a rubber band?
To me, if it is a log cabin in the winter, you're allowed to wear your socks.
Right.
And there's a roaring fire in the fire.
Yeah, if it's a dire situation.
Oh, let me be clear. If we're lighting a fire, socks are staying on, and the pounding is towning.
You go Winnie the Pooh style.
With socks.
Okay.
This is a crazy question.
I like wearing socks and shoes in general. I like my feet to be in things.
Mm.
Are you a barefoot at home kind of guy?
Well, so I was in our old house. We just moved in. We're renting a new house. And it's like we now are shoes off.
You pulled it off?
No. It's like we are shoes off unless you're about to leave and you have to go get something.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's like, I can't draw the line.
I'm with you.
If a guest comes into the house and they're wearing the shoes, I might just go, oh, and we do shoes. But I'm not going to like cause a scene. I think that's my, I don't want mentally to have it be a big person, part of my personality. In my old house, it was whatever the hell.
Yeah. We'd
have
if people, there's you know, a party in my house,
yeah,
shoes on, because we're inevitably actually going outside. And then probably. I can't be asking people to come in and out and take their shoes on and off over and over and over and over and over. Yeah. So,
and now, like, it is, I will say, it is definitely our house is cleaner than it was in the old house when we had shoes on, just whatever, wear your shoes wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But
you ever think about getting a big basket of IKEA slippers?
Oh,
everyone comes over. Shoes off, pop some slippers on.
That's cute. I kind of love that, actually.
I know someone who did that, and it felt cute. Going over. It felt fancy.
That's yeah. fancy as
but
fuck.
But then there's like, they're IKEA. There's like dollar slippers or whatever.
To me, I've been thinking about getting nice soap for the guest bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We have like a bathroom in our bedroom, and we have a bathroom like that's off the living room or whatever. And I was like, it'd be cool to just have a nice soap in there.
It elevates the guest experience.
Yeah.
Keeps them coming back.
Right, exactly.
The consideration that I would never have for people. I'm not thoughtful like that, but I
went liked. And it was in your house, it's dish soap.
Probably. It's probably like a toilet paper roll I forgot to refill and expired soap.
Yeah.
She didn't even think it was possible.
Yeah, it fouls.
It's separated.
Okay, after how many dates is it rude to go someone?
Ghosts
after how many so that, really the question is
the first
is it acceptable to ghost someone
yes
in any and so what threshold of dates does yeah. it become okay
let's also define ghost because I think that someone all right let's say like so you reach out to someone and they don't respond ever
yeah
that's a ghost obviously
right
you reach out to someone they respond 4 days later hey sorry I didn't see this
yeah
you respond
soft ghost
they respond 5 days later, that to me is a soft fadeaway pass, and that is fine to do
for
years of a relationship. No, that's fine to do. Like, I want to say 3 days,
Rainy.
Three dates.
Well, okay.
I agree.
But I think beyond that, you need to have just like, hey, this has been great. I guess yeah. it also depends on how intense the 3 days.
Yeah, what
are,
were though. The dates?
The three yeah, of us are out of the game, so I'm gonna ask you, Rainy, if someone first date.
Yeah.
You go out for drinks, right? Yeah. You're probably not going to like a nice dinner. Let's say drinks. Maybe you play some darts afterwards.
Oh my yeah. goodness.
Love cute acti- by the way, that's my pro tip. Dual activity. Yeah. Have it plan a date and then know of like, you know, I think there's like a dart bar right around the corner.
Oh, that's cool.
Do a little game. See how if you guys can be friendly, competitive.
If it's okay to throw needles around each other.
Yeah. Or like maybe like, hey, you want to play some Connect Four? I'll school your ass, right?
Right.
You go on that date with the skeleton.
Yeah.
Skeleton sends you a text and says, hey, I don't think you're right for me.
Mean.
Right?
Mean? Okay. Wait, okay. Why does that mean?
I would rather do Ghost. The soft fade. For soft that fade one date, soft fade is totally fine.
I actually do agree with that. I jumped down your throat there, yeah. but I do agree.
I think one date you can just fully ghost. I think one date you can
this
ghost.
This is revelatory because you know? This yes. was not the narrative 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was, I'm shocked to hear this. It was, if you don't have the courtesy to tell someone directly, true. You're a coward.
Because yeah. I counseled a friend of mine recently who,
different generation.
He went on a date with someone, I think just one date, maybe it was even two, and he texted them like this thing of like, hey, had so much fun, just not in a place to date right now, whatever, like this whole thing. And she texted back like, hey, this was really not necessary. And I was kind of like, yes, she's totally right. Like, you are...
That hurts.
But I was kind of like, text, I was like, dude, you did the weird thing. Like, she was being like, if you could have just been like, oh yeah, we're two normal people on equal playing fields, but it's not a right fit. You acted like she needed you and you had to let her down. And that is wrong.
But maybe when they were on date, she was like, I'm having the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah, but you're sometimes
so
people just say shit.
Nice and fun. And okay, I can't wait for our next
say that
date.
About us.
That's true.
Right? We don't know the context of their intimacy.
I guess so, but I'm kind of like, I think that you have to be like, I don't know. I think a soft fadeaway is sometimes kinder.
Okay, yeah. So now 3 dates.
Yeah.
You get the text.
3 dates you get the text from him?
From Skeleton.
From Skeleton.
Of like, hey, you know, I'm not in a place right now.
I'm trying to think if I've ever had someone text me that, because I feel like it's so much more often the soft fade, or like in person, it's like, ooh, we got to stop talking.
Oh, like in person, the date is so sour that you're like, this is not a fit.
Well, I've had people tell me in real life, like, oh yeah, I'm not looking for something.
So I hate to cop out here, but I think that the ghosting is contextual. One, yes, there's a threshold of dates, but two, the tenor of the conversation.
To me, I think people use ghosting as the like, oh my God, he ghosted me. And or she ghosted me, like how crazy.
Yeah.
And to me, sometimes it's like, no, it's more polite, I feel like, to do that than to have it out with some big conversation.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I think only a few times, like if it was casual dating when I was a single person, I was trying to just sort of like leave doors half open everywhere. And like sort of being like had a ton of fun, whatever. And then just not reach out. And if they reached out to me, I'd respond. But I wasn't always necessarily being like, I don't know. Unless I did have to break up with people. If I like went on, I don't know, three, four-ish dates or something like that in close proximity, then I'd have to be like, hey, sorry, it's not a right fit. Or if I could sense that they were really into me and I was
falling
not.
For you.
Falling for me.
You know,
what's the worst way you know of someone who's broken up with someone, or perhaps you yourself have been broken up with or broken up with someone? What's like the most intense?
Your reaction, Rainey, so tells me that you have an answer.
Well, this actually isn't me, but I think about it all the time, because my friend at the beginning of Anchorman 2, she was on a date at Anchorman 2 and her boyfriend broke up with her at the beginning.
What?
And then they sat through Anchorman 2.
No. You didn't leave. They were like, well, I guess we paid for the movie.
You monster.
What do you know?
That's crazy. What occurred where like, what moment happened? Did she not laugh at the right joke?
Or
that was it for him?
During the preview, she was like, that looks good.
That's it.
That looks bad.
That looks bad.
You are,
I know. And
here.
He drove. So she was just like,
oh, that's fucking devastating. If that was me, I would have been like, hey, you need to drive me back to my car.
Hey, can you pass the Bunch of Crunch? Also,
it's over. It's fucking
also, over. It's over. And I'm going to go get a refill if you want anything.
Soda? Someone who, when I think they did this more than once, but when they broke up with someone, they were so afraid of the social experience of breaking up that they, if they texted or called that person break up, immediately they blocked the number.
That's fucked.
Because they were like, they couldn't handle dealing with the repercussions.
Right.
Somebody broke up with me and then blocked me.
I think also people are intimidated about breaking up, and that's why they postpone it.
Yeah.
I actually was just giving this advice to my friend recently. I was like, the kind thing to do is to break up with someone you know you don't want to be with them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
a waste of time.
It's going to be easier, even though like it requires bravery to break up with someone.
Yeah.
But it's always like the thing of like, okay, yeah, we probably should have broken up like 3 months ago, and I'm just stringing them along, and then I have to like have it out. I did one time, this is a bad breakup story, sort of, not even really, but I was on a date with somebody for like 4 dates or something like that. And I had told them, like, it was right before I moved to Los Angeles. So I was like, I'm moving. Like, just so you know, I'm moving. I would love to keep hanging out, like casually, whatever, but I'm moving. So, you know, that is what it is. And she was like, totally, by the way, come lately. Like, I get it. And then we were with her friends and she was just like, look, it's like all the couples, like referring to like us as a couple. And I was like, oh, I gotta, like, I just think I have to, like, the kind thing to do here is to be like, hey, I'm not, you know, interested, whatever. And so I called her and I was like, hey, what's up? Like, it was like maybe a week later or something. And she was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, what's going on? Like, how's it going? I can talk. And I was like, so I wanted to tell you, you know, like I went through and I was just kind of like, yeah, like I'm just moving really soon. I think you're looking for more or whatever. I'm really sorry, but I just don't think we should be seeing each other right now. And she was like, what do you mean? And I like started like, which is fair, you know, whatever. Okay. Then after talking for a second, she goes, I'm standing in the Times Square Starbucks right now and everybody is looking at me knowing I'm being broken up with. I was like,
I tried so hard to get that story into Candid Competition and it just didn't. It was
why, no, why, yeah, because I think I told
it's so good.
Why was she in the Times Square?
And she was like, I'm good to talk. And I was like, well, you said you were good to talk. Like, I don't know, you're in front of a crowd. Yeah, I felt very bad. And then she was like, well, obviously, you have to break up with me in person. And I was like, okay.
What?
Like, I can go. Huh? And I think that was more because she was like, she was upset and mad at me and wanted to, you know, which is fair, whatever. But so maybe I had to go then go to her apartment and sit at a park bench, and she was just like, all my friends hate you. And I was like, okay.
Maybe you I hate me too.
Yeah. We have that in common. Yeah. I am moving.
Yeah. Wow.
It was wild.
One time I broke up with someone, or no, he broke up with me. And then at the end, he was like, but hey, finger guns, I think you're a great person. And I was like, I have to go. I'm out of your dad's basement right now. Like, I got it.
In high school, I had a very similar thing happen to me, Miles. Yeah. I moved to a new school right before my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
So I started senior of high school in a high school that was bigger than the town that I grew up in and had lived in all my life. But I made friends quickly because I'm me. And I was in the play. And there was a girl in the play who was on the dance. I didn't know her that well. She seemed very nice. And one day we were like all hanging out in a group. And we all went to the coffee place, Caribou Coffee. And slowly the group sort of...
Little local spot.
Caribou Coffee. And well, it's not everywhere.
No.
And the other everyone left until it was just us. And we were just hanging out. And it was very pleasant. And then so... I was like, I don't know if I like this person, but it's very pleasant. Hey, sure, why not? And then we like went on like a date or went to like a football game together.
Yeah.
Very light things that I guess were dates, but we were by no means boyfriend or girlfriend in my mind. Because again, I barely knew anyone. Well, early on in senior year of high school is the homecoming dance. And I didn't know anyone else. And all of our friend group was going. And I was like, yeah, we can go together. Why not?
Yeah, sure.
I don't have anyone. I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
And we're all in a similar friend group. Let's do it. So we go to, what is it called? It's a pie chain in the Midwest that's like a diner. It's kind of like a Perkins or any of those diners, but it's got a certain name. Anyway, went to this pie place for before homecoming dinner where she is then very much saying, it's like, well, like we're dating. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, we're each other's date. Because I'm like,
I have to nip this in the bud.
I did, and I kind of had to do it during the dinner.
No!
Oh,
but she didn't believe it.
Oh,
so then we go, and I'm just like, hey, let's just get through homecoming dance. It'll be fun. And we go to the dance, and it's like, you know, it's high school. So you're really just group dancing all the time. So, and then at the end of the night, I'm going to drive her home. And I'm like, hey, so like, I just want to clear it up. I don't think this is like, I don't really want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, right.
Like, I've just moved here.
Yeah, right.
I don't know anyone. I do not want to be in a relationship. And I had also just broken up with my girlfriend that I had been with in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I was like, I just don't, not ready for this. And she's like, ha ha ha. No, we're still dating.
Honestly, that's Brad.
And I was
right
like,
there.
No. And we spent 45 minutes in my car at her house for me to really be like, hey, I'm so sorry, but I have to go home. It's like 1 a.m. now. I was supposed to be home at midnight. You've got to go. I'm sorry that it's not working out, but. I was like, I really did not know what to do in this scenario.
Yeah, you're like, how do I leave this?
I obviously felt very bad.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I also like did apologize. Like, I didn't want to do that at dinner, but I and she was like, but you were kidding. And I was like, I really wasn't. I probably was playing it off as kidding because it was an uncomfortable situation to be in. And I probably did eventually turn it into kidding, but I was like, this is not me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in this relationship. We don't really know each other. Also, when I met her parents, they were very, very obsessed with her to a point of like they only had pictures of her in her house because I had picked her up and I like went to their house and the entire house was covered in pictures of her. Like, and I'm like, of course, she was an only child, but like I'm talking like hundreds of photos of her.
So
and
crazy.
Many photos that were clearly taken on the same day that were photo studio photos in different parts of the house.
They're like, let's put this in the bathroom.
It was
also.
Like, so
we can't choose just one. They're all so good.
It was kind of like
overwhelming.
And that was like, oh yeah, very sure I don't want to date this person because this is too intense of a scenario.
Keith needs to be the star.
That's right.
Yeah.
Drew started putting up his own. that is wild.
Her dad offered to cook me a steak and I'm like, we're going going to a dance.
Did I make you sick?
I'm like, oh no, I'm good.
Sorry. So the parents loved their daughter too much and offered you a steak, and you said red flag.
It seems when you say it like that, Zach, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah. No, the idea of being like, we're done, and her being like, no.
No, we're not.
I love the idea of someone telling you a story of someone's red flags and they're all incredible. It's like, she just, like, the family wanted to give me a steak.
By the way, that I think about that all the time. I think that that's how everyone is with breakups. They're like, can you believe? Like, yeah, obviously he said he wasn't looking for a relationship, but he clearly was. And yeah. Like, it's always so subjective. Mm-hmm. Whenever people break up, I try to keep that grain of salt. Like, and I get, if you're listening out there and you're like, well, like, my friend broke up and like they were the bad guy, the other person.
Yeah.
It's always subjective.
The
you
thing
know what
is,
mean?
It yes. feels so hurtful,
it
but
does.
It actually isn't fucked up.
Yeah, no,
break
it's
up
not
with
fucked
someone,
up at all.
But it feels,
somebody.
It hurts so bad. You're like, it must have been fucked
and you're
up.
You're going yeah, through right. these right. things for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're an adolescent person.
Oh, yeah.
You just are not educated in the world or even anything, so I'm sure I did not do a great job.
Well, by the way, yeah. But I'm thinking back on my breakups and I'm like, yeah, I didn't know anything about shit.
Yeah,
like, of course I was bad at doing that.
Yeah,
the only thing fucked up is not being open and honest with who you are and what you want and what that person wants.
I did
it's true.
Well,
Zach.
Said Zach. Hey, by the way, that was really good. I will say my friend they were dating for years, and they broke up. It was this guy and this girl, and they were at his family's home for his brother's wedding.
Oh,
and right after the wedding, he broke up with her, and she was stuck there, destination wedding, and just had to be like, what do I do?
Hook
like,
up at the wedding.
Yeah.
That's the fucking
the total
yo.
Yep.
Go to yep. okay. You're at your ex-boyfriend's family wedding. You find the hottest
you
cousin
find
you can.
His cousin and fuck go to town.
His cousin.
Fuck his cousin.
The new game show where you get to fuck his cousin.
That is really hey. That's good.
All
you
right.
guys should make that. Fuck his cousin.
Undercover cousin.
That's funny. Family reunion, you have to pick out the one person that's not your cousin. Ancestry.com presents.
That's really good.
Family, it's a giant family reunion, and you need to use context clues, and you're going to slowly vote out family members until only one cousin remains as the ultimate cousin.
Sometimes we'd have these Bonsignor family picnics, and there'd be like 80 people there that
wow.
were related to me, and I'd be like, who the fuck are these people? Like,
are
I had no
cool?
idea. I had no context for who they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, if someone wasn't your cousin was just lying, you'd never know.
Yeah,
undercover
exactly.
cousin.
I remember my uncle leaned over to me one time, and he goes, don't hit on anyone at one of these.
Hey, good advice.
Hey, don't fuck any of these
thanks,
people,
Unc.
Okay?
Yeah. Thanks, Unc.
What is your degrees of cousin where you stop actually caring about them?
I thought you were going to say of when you can hook up.
No.
We've done that conversation in other episodes. No, it's like I think about like my sister or my parents. Like, obviously, like, sure. yeah, I'd kill for them if I had to, right? I'll defend them and... My first cousins? Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And then I get to my second cousins and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I care about them. Sure. But
I have so few extended family beyond the, so like, yeah. I have so few. There's some I don't even think I've ever met because they're like, you know how like cousins could be a lot older than you and they almost would really act as aunts or uncles.
Right,
there's a couple
right.
in the East Coast somewhere that are cousins of mine. I've never met them.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so Keith, don't give a fuck about that.
I don't give a fuck
no,
about
No, I
it.
Feel that. I have so many. I mean, like, I would probably be like, oh, that's cool. But if they were like, you need to rob a bank with me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm good.
But your parents, you'd rob a bank with them.
Probably.
Yeah, I would.
My dad was like, there is this bank. The security's lax.
I've thought it through.
Yeah.
I have a plan.
I would trust
and
him
I have
too.
A team, yeah. and I need your special set of skills.
And I'd be like, Dad, honestly, I think you could pull it off.
I want to rob a bank so bad.
That's a good game show.
I want to so bad. My ultimate dream Try Guys video is Try Guys Rob a Bank.
It's fun.
And we train like Getaway Driver, the Mission Impossible Ducked Guy,
Locksmith,
Explosives Expert. Like, I want to do a clean robbery. No one gets hurt. This is how it always starts, right?
Yeah, right.
We get in, we get out, no one gets hurt. No one, it's a victimless crime. We got this.
And how are you doing it?
Bring
it down!
Like, do you have a plan or no?
I don't have a plan yet.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
I feel like a good idea for a movie is honestly a locksmith that gets called to a bank to help pick the lock on the vault. Okay, maybe not. No, like for real. What's the next fucking question,
Randy? They can't unlock their own vault.
No, fucking yeah. No.
I lock my keys in there. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
I lock my keys in the vault. Can you help me out, buddy?
Get in there, bud.
Coming to the Cannes Film Festival this summer.
I do think that'd be a good one.
Thanks. Yeah. We can move on.
Next one. Is talking shit still mean if you say, but who am I to judge at the end?
No.
Dunk, dunk, dunk.
The defendant wants to know if talking shit is okay if you still say.
If you say, who am I to judge? You're absolving yourself of guilt.
Who am I to judge?
I actually think that
you're talking shit.
That's ethical shit talking.
That person's hair color is the worst I've ever seen, but who am I to judge?
Yeah. I think also another one is, but I don't, like when you give advice and you're like, but I don't know.
That I actually think is really helpful. I don't actually know, but this is like maybe a
advice
thought.
Is different than critique because advice is potentially helpful.
This person's a asshole, but who am I to judge?
Yeah.
I actually think, I mean, yeah, shit talking, you got to be careful. Make sure you're ethically shit talking.
Yeah.
Because ethical shit talk, I think, is good for culture, good for society, mm-hmm. good for community.
Give me an example.
Example?
Okay. Ethical shit talk is like you, like a friend of yours. Yeah. Let's use the haircut example. A friend of yours gets a bad haircut, but otherwise is a really nice person. I think that like behind closed doors being like, yeah, the haircut, unfortunately, it is very bad, and I don't think they meant it to be this way, but and then like making jokes, silly, whatever, but being like, they're so sweet, I'm sure they were going
for this. Shit-talking does imply a certain behind-the-back nature, does it not?
Yeah, right.
It's secretive.
It's secretive.
Because I guess I could shit-talk you to your face, but it doesn't seem like...
That's just fighting.
That's just fighting.
Right? Just an argument.
Well, also, I guess what shit talker, like gossip is different than shit talk. Mm. I'm thinking sort of gossip.
I guess I'm thinking more gossip too.
Because shit talk is just
shit
like,
talk
this
is more mean.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Shit talk it's like
just,
bullying behind closed doors.
That's
a never
piece of shit. I hate him. I hope they get hit by a car.
Yeah, no, that's bad. Oh, you shouldn't shit talk unless the person is evil.
I didn't even say just then.
Let's see. I mean, I will say talking about your boss, I do think is okay.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, you can shit talk your boss.
Yeah.
And we very intentionally try to create space for us to not be involved.
Do you know when we're talking shit?
Obviously. Yeah, it's every day when we buy you lunch and let you go out and eat at the table.
But I think that makes you guys ethical bosses. You're like, leave a safe space.
You eat on your filthy tables outside.
It is so dirty. Those tables are disgusting.
I wonder how it got so filthy.
Everyone's sauce.
But who am I to say?
Who am I to judge?
Who am I to judge?
Who am I to judge?
And that, my friends, is ethical shit talking.
That's fucking correct. Yeah, I think it's good. I don't know. People are like... I think that there's a good space and way to do it. Mm-hmm. Although I do think you have to empathize with your villains.
100%.
If you're being this is crazy. Like, why did they? I do think it's important to check yourself. Just as it's important in like a breakup to make sure you're thinking a little bit about if it's a friend's breakup, if it's your own breakup, you can be fucking go ham. But if your friends break up, think a little bit about, okay, what does their perspective look like? It's probably a little more well-rounded. No one's 100% evil.
Right.
And I think in shit talk / gossip, it's important to be like, can you believe they said this? I'm sure they were going for this.
Right.
But obviously it's their insecurities that led to this. Right. Like whatever. Like I think it is important to.
You have to say that. You have to. It's the disclaimer.
Because otherwise you're just.
Otherwise you're being mean.
You're writing fiction.
Yeah.
There's no one thinks of themselves as a villain.
Yeah.
I think of this often in like the context of writing, like, right? Like no super villain. Even Darth Vader doesn't think that he's the bad guy. He thinks that he's doing what's necessary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean that everyone's actions are excused.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will try and put my, you know, there's someone who did something real shitty to me recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I am able to put myself into their mind to figure out why they don't think they're the villain.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not excuse them doing something that is shitty and unacceptable. Yeah.
You don't have to forgive them. You can just understand. There was a...
I know how they've deluded themselves.
Right, exactly. This is a deep cut to a movie with George Clooney. But there's a movie called Ides of March. in which George Clooney is running for president.
Ryan Gosling.
Gosling is also in it. Oh. And they're both hot as heck.
Yeah.
But
peak hotness.
And he's running for president, and this reporter asks George Clooney, he's like, do you believe in the death penalty? And George Clooney says, no, I don't. I don't think a state should ever execute its citizens. I don't think that's right. And he says, well, what about if they killed your daughter? And then George Clooney's like, well, if they killed my daughter, I would find a discreet way to sneak into their house in the middle of the night and I would slit their throat. And the reporter's like, what do you mean? You just said you don't believe that? And he's like, yeah, well, if I'm an individual and someone wrongs me personally, then I'm going to act reckless. But like as a organization, we can't base a society's rules and stuff based on
if a presidential candidate said that would go so hard.
No, that would be kind of sick.
Are you kidding me?
But I think that's true for like, it's like we can understand on a macro sense why people do things, but we don't have to forgive them for their shortcomings.
Right. That is interesting. That's layered.
That's George Clooney, baby.
Yeah.
That's George Clooney. That's George Clooney for you. That's the Clune.
That's Clune, man.
Monster.
The Clune. The Clunester.
Clooney.
Are Bitmojis still cool?
Are Bitmojis still cool? I'm going to ask you a follow-up. Have they ever?
They had a big moment. I actually think they're now vintage and funny and ironic.
I do actually like to send
I've
one.
I always
the video.
Felt they were vintage and ironic from the beginning.
Yeah,
I felt
right.
Like this feels old and obviously ironic. Like this is so stupid. There's no way anyone is using this legitimately without expecting the person to be like, that's stupid when they receive it.
You know what? I can vouch for this. Keith had a big Bitmoji phase. I'm talking circa 2017.
I loved it.
Where it was like him riding a hot dog car with like doing the shaka shaka being like, on my way.
Yeah.
It was like, it's so obviously stupid and it makes everyone laugh when they get it. I was totally on board.
Yeah, you should bring that back.
I should. Every so often you would update your phone and it would disconnect your Bitmojis from your text. And then I'd have to go back in and reconnect it. That's the only reason I stopped.
I don't care for the 3D ones. I miss the stupid stupid cartoons.
The 2D, The 2D. I don't want it to be... I mean, sometimes I do like... Because I made one
pig.
Of Eugene and one of Zach. That I sometimes would send videos of them talking.
See, I like sometimes it's like, hey guys, sorry, I'm going to be a little late, just feeling a little under the weather. And it's like a pig.
Yeah. And that's
fun.
Because again, it's obviously it's stupid.
Or anything serious doing it with one of those face things?
I'm trying to even look at what the Bitmoji is. Let's see. Now it's Memoji.
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 Man, Apple
Bitmoji did its own thing.
So what's Bitmoji?
It was his own app that you could integrate into your chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now it's like the fucking, I don't know what, the giraffe.
Pixar style.
Yeah, we don't.
Now it's, but you can make your own little,
I have one somewhere.
Everyone. I got a Becky one too.
I did make one for a couple of my friends. Then I made some haunted ones that look fucked up. And those are good too. They're like purple and weird.
It was fun on Bitmoji to change the outfit. Sometimes I would change the outfit to what I was wearing that day and I would send it to someone so they would get it and then I'd be like,
That's really funny.
Like, the fuck am I going to do with this thing, you know?
Yeah, what is that? Well, you make it talk, Zach.
Yeah, no, this is...
Make that kitty talk.
I'm going to... I don't care for it.
Well, I could use some advice after hearing Miles say that.
If you were just subjected to hearing someone say, make kitty talk...
Make that kitty talk.
You may need some advice.
It's advice that'll go 4 miles. Tune it to your radio station. It's advice that'll go 4 miles. Everyone get ready, Miles Nation. Miles Nation, go. It's advice that'll go 4 miles. Advice that'll go 4 miles.
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
Are you in the need of a good thing you can add to your life, but only in the right way?
I could use a good thing, and I don't want it to be the wrong way.
I recently needed scrimps.
Oh, you needed shrimp?
I needed scrimp cocktail.
Oh, I like shrimp cocktail.
And so I thought, where can I get bulk scrimps? Well,
Costco.
Basically, they're going to cost a lot.
Yeah.
Costco. So I brought my little ass down to Costco.
How much shrimp did you think you wanted?
With my family.
Brought my little kitty down.
And I said, let's bring the whole dang family, the whole fam damnly down to Costco. Uh-huh. So I brought the baby, the wife, and the mother-in-law.
Wow.
Down to Costco. Rain is pouring.
Yeah. Mm.
It is Saturday at peak shopping hours. And I got to tell you, don't go to Costco. Costco is a fucking nightmare that stressed me out so much I nearly had a panic attack.
Yeah, that's why I don't go.
It was hell. It was hell on earth. It was terrible, although the shrimp did taste nice. Yeah. I ate so many shrimp after that. Shrimp cocktail bonanza. And it's
did you get
just,
it cooked or did you get the pre-pro?
Cooked.
Yeah.
Raw shrimp in the comfort of my own home.
You can't eat raw shrimp.
Well, you know they have a shrimp cocktail that they serve that's not frozen. And then they have the frozen shrimp.
Yeah, I got shrimp cocktail that's ready to serve.
I have eaten that in one serving.
And
my
incredible.
Mom got mad at me. She was like, you're going to throw up. No, but I didn't.
You didn't.
Mm-mm. High protein.
Take that, mom. Take that, mommy.
Me and Sarah ate, we went halfsies and we ate the whole thing. But it's a lot of shrimp. And it's and I'm honestly impressed that you ate the whole thing.
Maybe it was half. I can't really remember.
But
now.
It's
even
so
halves
good.
Are big.
So good. So light and flavorful. And I ate a ton of shrimps. But then being in Costco, I was like, yeah, what the fuck am I gonna do with these bulk? I was like, yeah, it'd be cool if I could get one of these, was how I felt the whole time being in Costco. Yeah.
What do you think about shrimp cocktail Tuesdays? Where instead of a lunch order, we just get a lot of platters of shrimp cocktail and say, hey, get dipping, get tripping.
That's a great idea, Keith.
I mean, that's just the first step in us switching it to a catering order instead of everyone gets to individually have exactly what they want.
Is everyone gets shrimp.
Everyone gets shrimp. Tomorrow, everybody gets chicken taquitos.
That's not bad. It's one item Thursday where everyone goes in on shrimp. But I liked it. I thought that Costco had some good things. The rotisserie chicken was good. It was really fatty.
It's big.
It's big. It was delicious. $5. Pretty good. But the problem was just, it was like so much. And now I don't have space in my fridge or freezer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's all those people there.
It just stressed me out.
LA specifically, because in Denver, it's like overwhelming, but it's not like you can walk in a straight line. In LA, you cannot walk in a straight line.
It's crazy.
It's so intense.
And they don't even trust you in the store.
No.
People who work there don't trust you. They're like, maybe say that membership card. And you're like, I'm allowed to be here. Yes. Like, you're checking out. I was like, I need to see that card again. It's like, I couldn't have gotten here without the card. You know?
I think also legally in California, you do not need a membership to shop there, but they're going to be dicks about it. Yeah. Like, basically, California passed a law that was like, you can't fucking have a grocery store that's members only.
Waters law. If I stay in the Costco and you don't find me, I'm allowed to eat as much food as I want.
Yeah. I like that.
That's law.
Zach survives at Costco for 24 hours.
They're like, show me your receipt. And I'm like, I've been carded every step of the way.
You think I
was able to sneak something out of here?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Is Costco a country club?
Yeah. Oh. Zach just broke his knuckle.
It is. There is something about actually membership clubs. Like if you break their rules, it is more similar to breaking the law than like a Walmart if you break their rules. Store policy in a membership area actually... Hmm. Has more authority for them to like call the police and have them do something than breaking the store.
It's trespassing.
Yeah, basically, it's like you're doing something against a membership, and somehow the membership makes it different than a normal grocery store that doesn't have a membership. I don't know. I just saw a TikTok on it.
I'm
surprised. It was a lawyer TikTok.
Hey, I'm a lawyer. You should trust me because I said that.
Yeah.
I got you. Everybody on TikTok. Hey, they're what's like, up? I actually have a degree. There's this fucking. No, I can't even go.
We don't have time. Next time
we'll
talk
about
it.
There's a guy on TikTok.
There we go. Let him loose.
Everybody, his fucking videos are going apeshit. I want to say who he is.
I know exactly
what you're talking
about.
He basically goes, I have a degree in blah. And then he proceeds to talk about some totally unrelated bullshit.
It's Hank Green.
And I'm like, it's Hank Green.
It's Hank Green.
Why are people trusting? Like, it's crazy to me that people are like, hey, what's up? I have a bachelor's in advertising. And that's why you should trust my opinions on something completely unrelated.
I'm surprised that there isn't a, like, Air One Soho House hybrid where it's like you come here, it's a workspace, you have a pool, and you have private grocery shopping, and we're going to charge you $10,000 a month.
Yeah, that does sound nice.
Mm. If it came with groceries, like for free, that'd be pretty good.
Free groceries.
$10,000 a month.
It's called Pantry, spelled P-N-T-Y.
We shouldn't go on
$10,000.
I got this idea.
Darks, I'm going to give free groceries away for $10,000 a month. All I need is one client.
All you can eat groceries, $10,000 a month. We only carry very cheap groceries. There's no high tier products.
It's all Kellogg's.
There.
Keith, he doesn't know the tripod theme song.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle your booty. Wiggle, 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 wiggle it for me. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Everybody wiggle your booty just for me. It's the tripod.
Okay.
Have a good ass week.
You heard the man.